Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 26. In verse 2, the Bible says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me." This is King David talking. He wrote this. He said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." Now, this is a strange thing for King David to ask. He's basically saying to God, "Test me. Test me, God." Most people don't want to be tested by God. King David wanted to be tested by God. But the reason why most people don't want to be tested by God is because they don't have what David had for this particular situation. What David had is that he knew who he was. It's very important to know who you are. Who am I? I am what God thinks of me. And you are what God thinks of you. So it's very important to know what God thinks of you. Now, if somebody comes up to you and says, "Who are you?" Think about it for a second. What will you tell them? Who are you? And most people, first thing they would say is their name. Are you your name? My name is Mike. Am I a mic? What is a mic? You mean a microphone? Am I a microphone? I don't think so. What is a mic? Or Bill. Imagine if your name is Bill. What is a Bill? My name is Bill. Are you money? Are you something I have to pay? Watch out for people named Rob. You see, the funny thing is, sometimes we don't actually think about it, but we don't always know who we are. Well, I'm a human being. Well, that's great. It's like saying, well, the table is a table. Okay, so who are you, though? Who are you? The human being that is you. Who are you? And a lot of people can't answer that question. David could answer the question. Now, David was a guy who had all kinds of really difficult problems in his life. And most of the problems he caused. A couple of the problems he did not cause. But most of the problems he caused. And David has all these problems in his life, but he still knows who he is because he knows what God thinks of him, and he knows also that he is exactly what God says that he is. So if I'm going to know who I am, and if you're going to know who you are, we need to know what God says we are, what God thinks of us. Now, a lot of times people get the self-image that's not so good. And sometimes it's because people are unkind and they'll say nasty things to them. Or sometimes it's because they've tried things and the things didn't work out the way they were hoping. Whatever the reason, sometimes people get this self-image that's not so good. That self-image is not correct if it's not good. God didn't say have a self-image in yourself. That's the first mistake people make. They have a self-image in themselves. In other words, they'll say, "I'm no good," or "I'm amazing." And the fact of the matter is, neither one is correct. Both are wrong. My self-image is based in who I am that God says I am. And the first thing he says about that is in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." He says, "I know what I think about you." And he says, "I think thoughts of peace. And I do not think thoughts of evil." In other words, when I think about you, I think good things. I never think something bad when I think about you. If I see you, I think good things. If I see you, I think, wow, this person is precious to me. This person is wonderful. Or if I'm having difficulty, God is very compassionate. And He's very kind. He said, let me see if I can help this person because they're having difficulty and He does things to help you. God always thinks good things when He's thinking about you. Please understand that. Know it. Accept it. Let that sink in really deep. God always thinks good things when He thinks about you. There is never a time when God is thinking something bad when He thinks about you. That's number one. God thinks good things when He thinks about you. In John 15:16, God says something interesting. He says, you did not choose me. I chose you. Now, sometimes we think we chose God because we choose to get saved. We choose to accept Christ. We choose to believe in and so on. No, God chose us. The reason why we get confused sometimes is we don't always keep in mind that God lives in eternity and He sees all of time, all at the same time. Everything that happens in time, from the very beginning of time to the very end of time, God sees it all at once. And so, when God knew my decisions, before I even made them, when God knew I would respond, then He said, okay, I'll choose this one. Because this one will respond. It's not that after He chose me, I chose Him. No, no. He chose me on the basis of what He knew about me even before I was alive. So when we choose Him, it's actually because He's chosen us. And He says to us, you did not choose me. I chose you. That's why we are what we are. He chose us. Number two, I want you to have this in mind. We're giving you a little bit of a list today. Number one, God thinks so many good things toward you. Number two, He chose you. That means He must think there's something special there. Because God could choose absolutely anybody He wants, and He chose you. Do you understand that? God chose you. Never forget that you've been chosen by God. That gives you a lot of standing with God. Because you didn't choose Him. God chose you. That is an incredible compliment. God chose you. Now, sometimes because God chose you and then because you respond to Him also, people may not always like you for that. Some people hate God. And if you stand with God, they may not like you for it. But that's okay. You stay faithful to God. You stay true to God. You stick it out with God, and if somebody doesn't like it, that's their problem. That's their mistake. You don't follow their mistake. You stay true to God. Because God is the one who gives you a life. God is the one who made you alive. God is the one who puts together the details in your life. God is the one who gives you a plan for your life, a purpose for your life, a call in your life. God is the one who gives your life meaning. Because nothing else is capable of giving eternal meaning. Only God can do that. The people who walk away from God are the ones who walk away from meaningful life. The people who walk away from God are the ones who walk away from purposeful life. In other words, they waste their life. One of the worst things a person can do is to waste their life. So we stay close to God. We make decisions that will always bring us near to God. We make decisions that will cause us to be faithful to God. We stay with the Word of God. We obey the Word of God. We receive the Word of God. We trust the Word of God, and we do that all by choice. Because there we find real value and real meaning and real purpose. And one day when we do die and we go home to be with God, we're going to say, wow, this was a good life. There's a lot of people who can't say that. But then there are some people who can say that. And those are the ones who stuck it out with God, even when other people were not happy about it. There are some people who don't like God. Those people are a little bit crazy, in my opinion. But they don't like Him. Why? Because they're selfish. Because they're arrogant. Because they think they are more than they are. And they think God is less than He is. Sometimes because they're rebellious. Sometimes because they're demonically influenced. There can be a whole bunch of reasons, but all of them are bad reasons. So never go down that road. If they don't like God, they're not going to like you. It's like having a friend. If you have a friend, and maybe somebody's jealous of your friend because your friend can do something that most people can't. Maybe they're like a brilliant athlete or a great singer or something like that, or very smart. And people get jealous of them, and they don't like them because they're jealous of them. And you're a friend to them. They're not going to like you because you're a friend to the person they don't like. That's okay. You stay true to the people who are your friends, right? Well, likewise, in the same way, you stay true to God, because God is the best friend you can ever have. So you always stay true to Him, and it doesn't matter who likes Him and who doesn't like Him. You love God, and God loves you. Now, in Isaiah 43, in verse 4, the Bible says that you are precious in the sight of God. That means you have unbelievable value. Your life has tremendous value in the sight of God. You are precious in the sight of God. Do you understand how important that makes you? What's precious to you? Some people say money is precious. Some people say family is precious. Well, family is precious. And money is sometimes necessary, although people put too much emphasis on it sometimes. What's precious to you? Well, maybe your mom and dad are precious to you. Maybe your friends are precious to you. You are precious to God. God thinks you're very important. God thinks you're very special. God doesn't want to do without your company. God wants you to talk to Him. God wants you to be with Him. And He's always there. But being with God, sometimes we don't know what that means because we can't see Him. Being with God is being aware that He's right there with you. That's what that means. So even if you can't see Him, He's right there with you. Are you aware, for example, of the air? Well, yeah, you are. You're breathing all the time. You're aware of the air. You don't necessarily think about it all the time, but you're constantly aware of the air. Maybe if there's a breeze, you're aware of the air. It's that kind of awareness. You don't see the air, but you're aware of it. Being with God means I'm constantly aware of God. It doesn't have to be at the forefront of my mind, but I'm constantly aware of Him, just like I'm constantly aware of the air. You're precious to God. That means you are very important to Him. And in Ephesians 1:6, God says you're accepted. Sometimes we don't feel accepted. Sometimes we make a mistake and maybe our friends laugh at us, or maybe the teacher scolds us, or maybe mom and dad discipline us. And we don't always feel accepted. But no matter how you feel, God says you are always accepted by Him. Now, you may not always be accepted by people, and that's normal. That happens to everybody. But you will always be accepted by God. Don't ever think you cannot come to God. Sometimes when people don't realize that they're accepted, they think they cannot come to Him. Don't ever think you cannot come to God. You can always go to God. It doesn't matter if there's a problem or if it's a good day. You can always go to God. If there's something in your life and you need help, you run to God. If you made a mistake and you blew it and it's all your fault, you run to God. If you don't know what to do, you run to God. If you need wisdom, God says, ask God for wisdom and He will give it to you. And He will not be upset with you for not having it. You always run to God. You understand that? You always run to God. And you can run to Him because you're accepted by Him. Now in 1 Corinthians 12:27, God says you're His body. That's pretty amazing. You know why you're His body? Because He lives inside of you. Think about this. The God who created the universe, the God who is all powerful, lives inside of you. That God lives inside of you. And He will never leave you, and He will never abandon you. He'll never leave you alone. He will never turn His back on you. You are the body of God. Let me ask you something. Where is your heart located? In your chest, right? Can you imagine if your heart says, okay, I'm leaving now. Well, your heart is in your chest. Wouldn't that seem very strange to you if one day your heart just got up and went away? And how do you do that? Isn't that really a part of me? Isn't that the part that makes me alive? Isn't that the part that I need? Isn't that the part that cannot leave me? Yes, it is. It's that weird to think that God could leave you. No more can God leave you than your heart can leave your chest. Your heart can't leave, God can't leave. Why? Because you're His body. That's why. Your heart's not going to go anywhere because it can't do anything without your body. God needs His body to express who He is. So He's not going anywhere. God needs His body. You happen to be that body because He is living inside of you. In Revelation 21 and verse 9, and also in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, get this, guys. You're going to marry God. You are going to marry God. Regardless of who you marry on earth, if you get a wife or if you get a husband one day, ultimately in the end, after you go to heaven, you're going to be married to God. Now that's a pretty good place to be. That means you are incredibly important to Him. That means God is incredibly focused on you. He loves you so much that when you get to heaven, He's going to marry you. Now, being married to God is different than when somebody marries another person, like mom and dad are married. That's a different type of married. The married to God, and the reason why He calls it married, is that you're going to be so close to Him. He's never going to leave you. You're going to live with him in his house. You're going to be with him every day. You're going to share with him all your thoughts and your secrets and your desires and all the things that you're thinking. He's going to want to know him, and you're going to want to tell him. And you're going to tell him, and you're going to be very close to him. No matter how close you can get to another person, maybe you have a friend you always tell your stuff to, you'll be far closer to God. And it's going to be a whole lot nicer even than it is with your best friend on earth. You're going to marry him. Well, who are you? Well, I'm the one who's going to marry God. Who are you? That's a pretty good place to be. In Romans 1:7, and we're going to leave it at this. We could actually go with this all day long, but we don't have that much time. We're going to leave you with one more in Romans 1:7. You are God's beloved. You know what that means? That no matter what, in all circumstances and at all times, God loves you with all his heart. You are God's beloved. And because it's God who cannot change, the fact that you are God's beloved cannot change either. Whether you're the best person or the worst person on the planet, if you are a Christian, you are God's beloved. And the people who aren't Christians, God loves them, and he wishes they were Christians. He wants them to be Christians. Even if they choose not to be, he still wants them to be Christians. But you, because you're a Christian, you're the one who receives the love of God. So he calls you his beloved. So, if somebody wants to know who you are, so, well, God thinks only good things of me. He chose me. Even if other people don't like me because of it, I'm going to stick with him because he chose me and he thinks only good things of me and I'm precious to him and I'm accepted by him and I'm going to marry God and I am God's beloved. There, that's who I am. Does that answer your question? You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.